that we serve a living God. We don't have to pick you up and carry you places. We don't have to wonder if you've heard us. We know you've heard us. So, Father, we come to you this morning in prayer. Lord, there are all these prayer cards that were handed in last week, and Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we've already heard reports that you've been at work and you've been answering these prayers. But now, Father, for those that are unanswered or that are still waiting, we come to you in the name of Jesus, in the name above all names, the name by which everything in heaven, on earth, and below the earth is going to bow its knee. And we ask you, Father, to meet these needs. Lord, these people have written down their prayer requests. They've written down their requests for the souls of family and friends. And Father, we ask that you would move now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're careful to give you all of the praise and honor and glory. Father, I want to lift up our nation to you right now. Lord, I lift up the leaders of this nation. Father, I pray for protection. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, there would be a clarity of purpose in Washington, that the men and women serving there that are supposed to represent us would begin to represent us, and that they would come to your throne and they would ask you for knowledge and for wisdom, Lord Jesus. Lord, I also pray for all the nations in the Middle East who say they're going to take revenge now upon the United States of America. And I pray, Lord, that they would stop, that you would visit them. I read reports all over, Father, about visions of people who don't believe in you, and they see you and you come to them. And Father, I would ask you to do that. And Lord, we do pray for peace in the world right now. But Lord, protect our president, protect those that are running this country, protect our military, Father God. I pray for those who are in embassies around the world, that Lord, you'd put a hedge of protection around them. And then, Lord, I pray that you would call this nation back to you. That the name of Jesus would be on our lips, in our hearts, in our minds. And that, Father, there would be revival. I believe with all my heart, Lord Jesus, that you can revive this nation. I pray, Father, that you would start right here with us in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and that we would ooze out into the surrounding cities and counties, and that, Lord, Wisconsin would catch on fire for you. Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters that are speaking this morning from pulpits, that fire would come from the pulpits, that the Holy Spirit would anoint them, and that, Lord, there'd be revival all over Walworth County. Lord, I lift up Grace Church in Walworth, that, Lord, they would catch on fire. That Austin would speak this morning the very words of God that the people would hear, and that, Lord Jesus, there would be revival sparked all across our county. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that people will forget who spoke this morning, but they will remember the one that was spoken about in your precious name. Amen. Good morning. 2020, I hope you're ready. We are in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read about some more characters of Christmas, because the Christmas story doesn't just end when Jesus is born. It keeps going on and on. We're living it today, amen? And he's a central figure. So this morning we're going to read the first 12 verses in Matthew. We're going to talk about the Magi. We're going to talk about Herod and the people in Jerusalem. We're going to talk about an inanimate object, a star. And I pray it's going to change you from the inside out. All right? It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, I pray you would breathe life into the text for us this morning. That, Lord, we would see what it means for each and every one of us. And, Father, again, that you would change us, that you would adjust our thinking in this crooked and perverse world today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Your first point on the outline, the birth of Jesus caused a commotion in all of creation. You can test this afternoon. Go uptown, find a stranger, walk into a restaurant, start talking about Jesus and see if it doesn't cause a commotion. You see, it caused a commotion everywhere. We see here that there's a star being used to lead the Magi. We see that Herod and all of Jerusalem are upset when they hear about the one born King of the Jews. If you think the devil's happy about Jesus being born, you're wrong. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth, into hell, the enemy was upset. There was a commotion everywhere going on because of the name of Jesus. The angels responded. They came and they spoke to individuals, and then they spoke to the shepherds, and then the shepherds spoke to everybody and told them what they had seen when they went to that little stable there and saw that little baby. It's time for Jesus to cause a commotion in the world. What do you think? And the only reason it's not going to happen is if the church is quiet and we all just want to be quiet and don't stir anything up and we're afraid to speak about our Savior. So I hate to say this, but I might be stirring you up to cause a commotion this morning. Look at your next point. The Magi came to the King of the Jews looking for the newborn King of the Jews. I worded that for a reason. Herod, in the text, was known as the King of the Jews. He stepped on people to get there. He wanted to be in power. Can we say he was a politician? And he didn't care what was best for the people. He cared what was best for him. We see this because of the concern he has when he hears there's another one born, King of the Jews. The Magi had no idea when they walked in there and said, where is he who is born King of the Jews? It was going to hit Herod the way it did because he thought he was the King of the Jews. It's exactly the way God orchestrated it, you see. I'm not going to take you there now, but you can see when they put Jesus on the cross, what do they put? On the top of the cross, they put the King of the Jews. But this really upset Herod. Look at your next point. Herod was threatened by the news of another king. He said, I'm it. And there's nobody else going to be king here. And it was a threat to him. Now, I want to spiritualize this with you today. When you go up to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they've never surrendered their heart to Christ. And when you speak the name of Jesus to them, or you talk to them about becoming a Christian, their reaction sometimes is, oh, I don't need him. And what for? And why would you talk about him? And I don't have to go to church. It's all a myth. It's this, it's that. The Bible's so old. We hear it. You know what it is? It's the spirit that's in Herod right here in the text where it says he was upset because there was another king. And what I want to say to you this morning, when people react in that way, I want to tell you what the problem is. You know what the problem is? They're the king sitting on their throne. Folks, I know what's best for me. I'm in charge of me, right? See? That's what happens. You see, I'm on my throne. Who's on your throne in your heart? Who's the one calling the shots? If you're calling the shots, then when somebody comes and speaks the name of Jesus, there's an upset, there's a commotion, there's a reaction because you're saying there's another king in town and he wants to sit on the throne of your heart and you have to give him the reins and the keys to your car and he's going to drive from now on. And people get so upset. They argue with us. They react. And my next question is there any of Herod in you? Oh, I love me. I have plans for me. I want what I want when I want it. That's called pride, and I'm on my throne, and it's time to get off and let God come in and do what He's going to do. And so when they came into Jerusalem and they said, we followed a star and we're searching for He who was born, King of the Jews, the whole place was up for grabs. When you walk into a place and you begin to witness about Jesus or you live for Jesus, you don't even have to say anything. If you go into a place where immorality is going on or you look at a movie with the wrong stuff on and you say something or you get up and walk out, people get upset with you immediately because you're standing up for Christ and they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it because they think they know what's right. Turn to somebody and say, man, I wish you'd get off this point. I found myself in terrible trouble last night. I was on this point. I couldn't get off it. I kept trying to get to the next point, and God just kept saying, no, you got to hammer this one home. So if you're on your own throne today, get off. And also, I want to bring understanding to you. The moment you bring up the name of Jesus, the moment you speak Christianity, the moment you speak righteousness, the moment you turn off that foolish program that's godless, there's a reaction. I'm here to tell you this morning, take hope. We can swing this thing all back to Jesus. But we have to get off our throne and we have to put Him on the throne. Here's your next point. Herod's demeanor set the tone for all the people living in Jerusalem. It says that Herod was upset and everybody in the city was upset. Why? Because how many people here have seen It's a Wonderful Life? Yeah? This is Mr. Potter in person times two. I love what George Bailey says. He says you just galls you if you can't own it and if you can't get your grubby fingers on it. I love it when George goes, no, I don't have to think about going to work for you. And that's Herod. Herod's the king. Nobody can mess with him. He got upset when he heard there was another king. And the whole town went, oh boy, we're in trouble now. We're going to pay for this. See, guess what? When you walk into a place, you create an atmosphere. If you walk into a home and you're ornery and crabby, you know what happens? Everybody kind of gets on edge. If you walk into a place and you're calm, you see, people get so upset and they're so frustrated and they walk in and if you just say, let's wait a minute, let's pray for a moment, let's ask the Lord what we should do. I think we can find a solution here. It'll calm right down. You create an atmosphere. Herod created a terrible atmosphere in Jerusalem. If you listen to the news, they create a terrible atmosphere. My wife listened to a news. Boy, am I going to get in trouble for saying this. I can't help it. It's a real example. She was in a terrible mood when she went to bed last night, and I said, God, why is she so crabby? And you know what? She listened to a news program, a good news about what's going on in the world. And I talked to her this morning, and I said, that's what happened. And she said, I can't listen to that anymore before I go to bed. And I said, good idea. You create the atmosphere. The whole town was up for grabs, you see. Now look at your next point. The chief priests and teachers had information about the Messiah, but no interest or enthusiasm to seek him. I hate to tell you this, but these were the pastors. These were the shepherds of the flock. These were the guys who knew the Word of God. These were supposed to be the spiritual leaders in Jerusalem. And Herod calls them and he says, where is this king going to be born? And they quote Micah 5, verses 2 and 4. It's in the text, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. I think the sound system's putting an accent upon that. They quote it, but they have no interest. Have you ever looked at this text and then you see the Magi go to find Jesus, and I'm wondering, where are all these chief priests and the elders who just quoted the scripture and they should be looking for the Messiah? And there's no mention in the text of them going to find Jesus. They were comfortable. Hey, we're in Herod's court. You see, Herod's the king. Boys, you chose the wrong king. They have no interest. There are a lot of people that know a lot about God. They can quote the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. They didn't go find him. I'm telling you today, seek him and you will find him. Listen to a scripture text that they didn't quote. Numbers chapter 24, all right, and verse 17. 24, verse 17. This is Balaam, the guy that a donkey corrected. And every time he tried to curse Israel, he spoke a blessing to them. And listen to verse 17 of chapter 24 in Numbers. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. Folks, the star led him right to Jesus. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. He's talking about Jesus. If the chief priests and elders had told Herod that, maybe he would have said, whoa. Probably not. But they had all the information. There's another thing that just amazes me. They followed this star from the east for possibly 2 years, and nobody else has seen it. Nobody in Herod's court said, oh yeah, oh, is that what that is? We saw that star. I wonder if maybe God just let them see it. See, that's what they did. They watched the stars. They were into that. Guess what? Are you witnessing? Anybody here witnessing to somebody? Tell God to use what they're into to get them. I love that. That's why we had a car show here in the fall. You know why? Because God's using cars for hopefully me to get to them. I can't believe somebody didn't say, oh, that star, yeah. I think I'll follow it. There's no mention of it. Before we move on from the Magi and talk about the star, I have to ask you this. How many Magi were there? Huh? If you got your nativity set up yet, or if you took it down, how many of the kings did you carry out there? You see, everybody says, oh, there's three, or there's four, or there's this many, or there's that many because of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But you know what? We don't know how many people there were. And here's what I think. And the more I study it and the more I listen to it, I think there could have been 5, 10, 15, 20, there might have been 100. Because these men came and they had to have their bodyguards with them and they had to have everything they needed for the journey with them. And I think they rolled in. I think if there were only two or three, Herod might have offed them right there, and the king never would have been seen by them. But I think they had so much firepower with them, and I think they were so influential when they came in that it scared Herod. And they kept their treasures. Nobody took it. That says to me, they had some bodyguards with them. Before I move off this point, I have to tell you, always check pastors when they preach. Go to the Word of God. Test what's being said. Look it up yourself. Read commentaries. Man, Spurgeon has an awesome commentary on Matthew chapter 2 about the star and the magi and what went on. And it amazes me that the religious leaders missed it again. They missed Jesus and his ministry when he was older. They missed it here. Look at your next point. God used his star, capital H-I-S, to lead the Magi to Jesus. The whole earth shook. There was a commotion. The stars obeyed him. They did whatever he said. And he used a star to lead them. Again, I can't get you enough of this. If you're praying for somebody, ask God to use what they're interested in to get them to Jesus. I'm here to tell you, he will do it. I can find a gospel application for every country song out there. If you're in the country, I'm going to use it to get you. God will use it. He used the star. It was his star. They saw his star. I don't know how many people saw it. It amazes me. Only the Magi followed it all the way to Jesus. I hope you're ready for this one. There's no mention of the star after the Magi find Jesus. Turn to somebody and say this to him. Say, stars have no ego. It's so important, church. Do you have an ego? I have an ego. I like to brag. Anybody here like to brag? Have you ever asked God, why don't you work today like you used to work? Why don't we see the signs and wonders? Here's why. I think it's because of egos. We all have them. And God won't share his glory. And if we pray for somebody and they're healed, give God glory. Thank him. Move on to the next person with a need. You hear what I'm saying, church? We lead people to Christ and then we like to brag about it. We like to put numbers up and we like to do these things. And people start ministries. You know, somebody gets healed and they rent a hall, put out flyers, make a business out of it. And I'm here to say to you this morning, if you can get rid of your ego, look out, God will use you. One of my favorite preachers, I heard this years ago. He said, when I'm done preaching, I want to melt into the carpet and come up in my office. He said, I want people to forget me. I want them to remember Christ. And the struggle we have in Christianity today is unlike the star. Everybody's got egos. Everybody wants it their way. And what we need to do is stop and say, Lord, we want it your way. Take an example from the star. All it did was it took him to Jesus. And I don't know what happened to it after that. What did it do? Go back into the heavens where it's always been unnoticed? I don't know. But I want to be more like the star. I want to be the light that draws people. And I want to bring them to Jesus. And I want to stop right there. And I want to hand them off to him because he'll do a wonderful job. Doesn't mean we don't disciple. It doesn't mean we don't continue to minister where we have to be. But we have to be like the star. Look at your next point. The Magi worshiped Jesus, not the star. I love this. You know, they didn't turn the star into some big deal. They didn't, you know, worship the star like Israel. They would find something to worship, right? The snake on the pole. They would bow down to the snake that healed them. No. Worship God. And they went into the house and they bowed down before a little child. And they worshiped him. The church gets off. The church worships things. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. For 2 years, the Magi kept Jesus the main thing. They kept looking for the king. They didn't get off on the star. They didn't get off anywhere on the journey. And they went to the King Jesus, and then they bowed down before him. And here's your next point. Giving is part of worship. They carried the gold. They carried the frankincense. They carried the myrrh. They gave Jesus the gifts. They had no clue that the very next part of this text is going to say that an angel appears to Joseph and said, "You have to go to Egypt because they're going to try to kill the boy." And now they had money to go. We already know they're poor. They bought turtle doves for an offering because they couldn't afford a lamb when they went to the temple with Jesus. And now they had the money that it would take to get where they had to go. And they had frankincense and myrrh, which were medicinal and healing. And they came and they gave. They didn't come and say, "Well, we found him. Hey, this is a kid. What's he going to do? We're not going to give him gold. Is he responsible?" They found God and they gave to God. And then they got up and they took off and they obeyed what came to them, saying, "Don't go back to Herod. Don't tell him about the child," you see. When God tells you to do something, do it, church. I dare you. I dare you to do it. We had a great teaching in the men's ministry yesterday. It's not always convenient when God calls on you. But it's so worth doing what God asks you to do. Next point, the Magi's journey home was physically and spiritually lighter after they met and worshiped Jesus. Please hear what I'm saying, church. They came and they gave him the gifts. But here's what they did. They met the king. You know, I don't know if they got saved. I always think for the best, you know. And I don't know if we're going to meet the Magi in heaven. I can't tell you. But they did come and they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. And what I see in the Word of God, if you worship the one true God, you're going to be with him. And I believe they found peace there like you couldn't imagine when they came into the presence of God. Radiant beams from thy holy face. His face was still holy at the age of 2. And I think there was such a relief to them spiritually. And I think they headed back rejoicing, touched by the Holy Spirit. And I just can't help but think they went back and they said, "We met this king, the king of the Jews, man. Get ready. His name is Jesus." Wouldn't you like to have been in the room to listen to them talk to Mary and to worship God? Jesus may have spoken to them by that time. Wow. And when they went back, they had completed their journey. It's just amazing to me, church. As we get ready to come to the table this morning, I have a challenge for all of you, okay? And I don't think we have it up on the board, but this is a scripture text. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." I've lost some of you right there. See, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." Can I ask you a question? Is that true about today? Now listen, then you will, what? Shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Church, I want to ask you a question. If somebody follows you, where will you take them? If you have enough influence on somebody, where will they follow you? Where will they wind up? And my challenge to you this morning is that they would wind up with Jesus. I've been in the hospital with my daughters and my sons when they have a baby. And the first time I hold that baby, I always speak Jesus to them. They need to hear that word immediately. And so my question for you today is, if somebody's going to follow you, if you have influence in a life, where would they find themselves? And they need to find themselves with Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you shining like stars in the universe, you see? Or do you have an ego? If you shine like stars in the universe and bring somebody to Jesus, and then you tell everybody about it and you brag about it, the shine's gone. And so this morning, Father, as we come to the table and we're going to take the bread representing the body of Christ broken for us, and we're going to take the blood that erased our sin. It represents the blood that took our sin away and cleanses us. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd take Herod out of our character. And that, Lord, if there's one piece of us that rebels against you, it would be gone in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, our egos would die, and we would wake each morning and say, Lord, here I am, send me. And Lord, in that atmosphere, we'll shine like stars and people will follow us right to you. Lord, I pray as we look at the empty seats in this sanctuary that one day, because we shine like stars and because we're not afraid to speak your name, that this place will be packed with people chasing down the King of the Jews named Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak to us now as we come to the table, as we wait for the bread and as we wait for the cup. And Lord, show us what you have for us. Where do you want us to shine? Who do you want us to lead, Father? In Jesus' name, let's come to the table. Older and I get more aches and pains. You ever tune into YouTube on what you should eat and shouldn't eat and what causes this and what will cure that? And I have to stop doing that because I don't know what to eat anymore. But spiritually, I know what to eat. It's the bread of life. His name is Jesus. The bread of life, born in the house of bread, so he could come and die for us. And church, if we take this believing, when you take this bread, when you put it in your mouth, you're saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, and he died on the cross to take away my sins. And when you do that, you're going to shine like you've never shined before. So Jesus, we recognize you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We acknowledge that this morning. Let's eat. I love riding motorcycles, you know that. I have a friend that I like to ride with, and the first long trip I went on with him, when we'd stop for gas, motorcycles can only go about 150 to 200 miles, you gotta stop for gas. And he'd buy these 5-hour energy drinks and he'd dump it down and say, 5-hour energy, let's ride. I wonder if there's any tired Christians in here today. See, if knowingly we know what the blood of Jesus is and we recognize His blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, this is eternal energy. We will last forever, church. We'll be with Christ in heaven. No pain, no sorrow, no tears. No sin, no corruption. So Jesus, we thank You for what You've done. And You said in Your word, You said, if you eat My flesh and you drink My blood, it was a spiritual truth. And He said, You said, we'll be with You, Lord, for eternity. We thank You for that, Jesus. And Lord, as we drink this, I pray for healing. I pray for energy, Lord, spiritual energy to continue the task and to follow the path You've laid out before us, Father, so we can shine like stars in this universe. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's drink. Lord, this week I pray You will give us opportunities to shine. That, Lord, when we least expect it, don't even know it's happening, somebody will be watching our behavior and we will have such an influence on them that they'll say, I got to follow this person and I have to find out what makes them tick. How come they behave that way? What is this calm peace about them? And, Lord, we pray for a harvest of souls. Use us, Lord, to shine like stars in the universe in a crooked and perverse world, Lord, so that we can bring people to meet You, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go out and shine. Amen.